From IPM News, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Monday, February 26th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the need for women to step into large animal practices in rural areas, despite the many challenges. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is proposing a new plan to fully fund the state's pension systems. Alex Degman reports.
Pritzker wants to use hundreds of millions of dollars spent on debt service to be put toward pensions once that legacy debt is retired. State Representative Stephanie Kifowit, chair of the House Personnel and Pensions Committee, says this isn't a new concept.
If we already have this payment in our budget, it's not dedicated to any other source, then we should continue just doing this payment and shift it to our high-interest pension liabilities. It's just fiscal responsibility.
Annual pension payments increase every year due to the so-called Edgar ramp implemented in the mid-1990s. It was designed to backload higher pension payments to later years. Pritzker says this plan would save billions and ensure the pension systems are 100% funded by 2048. I'm Alex Degman.
A new report has found that 73% of Illinois' rural hospitals no longer provide obstetric care. Side Effects Public Media's Natalie Krebs has the details.
The report by the Center for Healthcare Quality and Payment Reform analyzed federal data and found many communities are at risk of losing hospital maternity care. Harold Miller is the president and CEO of the Nonprofit Policy Center. He says a major issue is that insurance companies and Medicaid need to reimburse hospitals more for the costs of births.
We've suggested that they also need to pay differently. Rather than simply paying for each birth, they need to be paying the hospital to be able to support the availability of the appropriate staff to do that.
Miller says policymakers also need to find ways to recruit and train more people to work in rural healthcare at a national level. Natalie Krebs, Side Effects Public Media.
Children and families from Champaign-Urbana gathered at the playground at Meadowbrook Park in Urbana on Saturday. It was their last chance to play on the wooden structure that has been around for almost 30 years. Illinois Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton has the story.
The Urbana Park District hosted the final play date to give residents a chance to say goodbye to the playground before it's torn down. Urbana mother Bree Bubb says the park is special to her. She used to play here as a kid.
We always referred to it as the wooden park, and I have a daughter now who's 3, almost 4. And I, wanted her to have some memories playing here.
Eric Baldwin, a father and Urbana resident, says he's upset about the park district's plan.
It's my favorite playground in the whole sort of regional area, so I'm super disappointed that they're going to be tearing it down soon.
Park district officials say the current playground's wood structure is difficult to maintain, and they want to make the park more accessible. Construction on the new playground is set to begin this week. I'm Alyssa Eaton, Illinois Student Newsroom.
The Fighting Illini women's basketball team lost on the road yesterday to the number 4 overall Iowa Hawkeyes 101-85. Despite the loss, Illinois guard Makira Cook led both teams in scoring with 26 points. Illinois now has an overall record of 13-13 and are 7-9 in Big Ten conference play. The Illini will play the Michigan State Spartans on the road next on Thursday, February 29th at 7 p.m. Still to come, we'll learn more about the need for women to step into large animal practices in rural areas, despite the many challenges. That story is next on 217 Today.
Attention Call the Midwife fans. Friends of WILL can stream each new episode of the show 30 days before it premieres with Passport. For season 13, it's 1969 and a surge in hospital births puts maternity beds in high demand across the nation. Thanks to the dedication of the women of Nonatus House, Poplar manages the influx exceptionally well. Watch episode 1 now with WILL Passport. Stream episode 2 beginning Friday, February 23rd. Learn more about Passport at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. Veterinary medicine was once a profession dominated by men. In the past 15 years, though, women have become the majority of practicing veterinarians and students. Despite these changes, some areas of the field still lag behind. Harvest Public Media's Lily Halloran looks into why rural animal practices are still largely male-dominated.
Dr. Bailey Lammers admits running her own veterinary practice in rural Nebraska can be a challenge, especially with family at home. When she first started Gavin's Point Vet, Lammers says she constantly juggled new motherhood while trying to build a stable client list.
It's a lot more challenging, I think, for the mom, especially with newborns and everything, to be away and have to go on calls in the middle of the night to, you know, pull a calf or those kinds of things.
At the start of her career, Lammers faced clients who were skeptical of her abilities. Some would even call, specifically asking for a man. Lammers says most of her clients now are really understanding that she's also got a family.
And so the ones that don't believe that I should be doing what I do because I am a mom or a woman or whatever, those are just not my clients.
While nearly 70% of practicing veterinarians are women, the percentage studying is even higher at 83%. Kate Zarni is a second-year veterinary student. She says while interning at a rural practice in Wisconsin, farmers were often uncomfortable with having a woman veterinarian make livestock calls.
They would have to go with one of their male vets first and be like, no, our vet is good. She knows what she's doing.
This is part of what inspired the University of Missouri student to become president of her school's Women's Leadership Development Initiative.
That's what this organization is focused on, is giving these leadership opportunities to women and helping them build their skills so that their confidence builds and they're ready to go take on leadership positions in their own clinics.
She says there's good reason to support female leadership in the industry because women only make up 40% of practice owners. In rural areas, the contrast is even more stark, says veterinary economist Clint Neal of Applied Economics Consulting.
Those practices tend to be smaller, much more isolated, and tend to be more geared towards working with farmers and ranchers and people in that aspect, which on the farmer and rancher side is also very male dominated as well.
Neal says this means women are unlikely to locate in rural practices, even as those areas experience a shortage of veterinarians. And women are also less likely to own a practice. Men who own their veterinary practices make up to $100,000 more per year than their female counterparts. And pay gaps also exist for specialty practices and other veterinarians.
There's like no other explanation that's not discrimination based on gender. There's none.
That's Dr. Tamara Hancock, an assistant teaching professor at the University of Missouri School of Veterinary Medicine. She says men need to be involved in pushing for pay equity as well.
It's not these women need to negotiate more. All these men were able to just negotiate themselves up tens of thousands more dollars. Like, that's just implausible to me.
Hancock says the industry still faces plenty of gendered expectations, too, despite the fact that it's now a profession with a lot more women.
You know, you pull up in your truck and they called a vet out, but they're not expecting you. And by you, I mean a woman. And you step out and they're thinking there's no way you can do this. And then there's the watch me and you do it.
Back in Nebraska, Lammers has built a practice despite those kinds of experiences. She says with the current shortage of rural veterinarians, it's something the industry needs to reckon with.
We're going to need everybody to help, you know, raise animals and keep them healthy and keep our food supply healthy.
And farmers, she says, will just have to get used to calling a woman. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Lily Halloran.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 71 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Alex Stegman, Alyssa Eaton, Colin Highslope, and Lily Halloran. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.